With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. I'm Ryan Belongi, joined on Fridays as usual by Jordan Cooper. Adam's taking a little break. You know, he's been working so hard with all the World Cup stuff. So I figure me and Jordan can handle this one. Jordan got his fourth King of the Pitch ticket the other day. So it's been a good World Cup so far. How's it going, Jordan?
You're burying the lead. I'm surprised you're still working at RotoWire, being that you binked the large field GPP twice in, what, 5 days and during the World Cup?
Close. Today's was the 555.
Okay, that wasn't the large field.
That wasn't the large field, but they both had 20K for first. So two 20K scores so far. Yeah, heck of a start to the World Cup.
Right. Who says you need goals in order to have a good time in the World Cup?
Right. I mean, what a slate, especially today. Another slate with 0-0 games, not much happening, not many floor points. I faded England and it worked out.
Yeah, I think that was the least entertaining game. I mean, truthfully, I no offense to the other Americans, I fell asleep the last 25 minutes of the game.
Yeah, well, you know, it's still good for the U.S., you know, to play England like that. And to be like sort of the more dominant team, creating better chances. It was a pretty good game for the U.S., not for England. I agree, it was a bit boring. Would have been nice if we could have got a goal, but
it doesn't change anything. I mean, essentially, the U.S. still have to beat Iran.
Yeah, so we still got a chance. I mean, I guess that's all you can ask for going into the last game. Now, this slate for Saturday.
This slate is quite tough.
It's quite tough. So I'll let you break it down. We have Argentina as the biggest favorite against Mexico, coming off a sort of a nightmare loss to Saudi Arabia in the last round. Argentina has a 1.85 total. And we have Poland against Saudi Arabia. Poland struggled in that match with Mexico, but they got a good matchup here. 1.65 total, about the same as France's total for their match with Denmark, which is another sort of tough spot. So I don't know, Jordan, how do you look at this slate?
Well, I mean, a lot of these slates we've had like bigger favorites. Like when we say like Argentina's the biggest favorite, like that's just 62%. Like none of these teams are more than a 2-1 favorite. So like even Saudi Arabia against Poland, it's like, oh, Saudi Arabia sucks. It's like, they're not even a 3-2 underdog. I mean, like these games are based on the betting lines expected to be closer no matter, you know, oh, France is much better than Denmark. Are they? Are they really? Right. Argentina is much better than Mexico. Are they? Are they really? So I think for GPPs, everything is available to you. I mean, like you have everything. You feel free to play. There's no team that's off limits completely. And then for cash games, the problem comes in cash games is that you're probably going to be, and I mean, this applies to GPPs, definitely in cash games, you're probably going to be fading someone that you're scared to fade. And you have
at least one,
but you're going to have to, and I'm not sure if I'm going to lean on macro strategy versus micro strategy in cash games. And we'll get to that as far as you typically are going to prefer favored sides. So when choosing between A and B that look very close, from a macro perspective, I prefer the favored side, but the underdog side may actually have the higher floor player by a point or two. So you have to kind of, we'll get into do you even, dude, a natural instinct is like, well, let me plug in a France forward, Lionel Messi, and then one of Zielinski or Eriksen. There are constructions where you don't play any France in your lineup.
I want to add to that just a little. I think you're spot on. Like, look at the USA match. I mean, Pulisic was by far the best floor play. I mean, not even close as an underdog. Now, obviously, England were bigger favorites, but the point you made about these favorites, not even, you know, who really knows. Wales played Iran this morning, and Wales was a similar favorite to this, and they were second best the entire match. There's no way they should have been a favorite. So, yeah, you're not really sure how these matches are going to go. So let's look for cash games. I guess, you know, we have Mbappe at 12K, and we have Messi at 11.8. But also one of my main questions is Robert Lewandowski is 9,100. I was expecting him to be more than that. -120 to score against Saudi Arabia. So what are you thinking in this top range?
I think from my natural instinct is to look for set piece takers. So like, I mean, I look at Griezmann at 9,400. He's 2,600 cheaper than Mbappe. Mbappe was on, you know, one side, like they're sharing set piece responsibility.
They're sharing, yeah.
Right. I prefer Mbappe's ceiling to Griezmann's ceiling, but I mean, you have to expect Griezmann to be on penalties also. So, like, he's got that as well. But I don't know about spending $12,000 in cash on Mbappe when I think between all of these, I'd rather play Messi for Argentina and not have any type of doubt on what's going to happen. Messi's going to be on everything for a team, truthfully, that they need to win. Like, they don't need to draw. They need to win. So they're going to be, I expect them to be much more attacking. I think the Argentina-Mexico game will be the most open game of the three. So I'm more likely to prioritize that game rather than, I think the Poland-Saudi Arabia game, Poland has the ability to really play down to their competition. So Lewandowski at 9,100, do I need that goal dependent of a player in cash games, even though he's a -120 to score? I don't know. I'd prefer Griezmann over him for 300 more. If I'm already playing Messi in my lineup, regardless, like, I prefer Griezmann over Lewandowski, but, you know, from a goal odds perspective, I wouldn't call you nuts for playing Lewandowski. Just you're liable to get 4 points. I mean, like, there's not a really a floor there.
So that's what I was going to ask. And maybe I'm overrating it a bit. I was thinking that maybe there's not that big of a difference between him and Griezmann's floor just in these specific matchups. I don't know. I mean, not as big of a difference as you'd think.
I would agree. Like it's not as big as you would think, but I still think Griezmann has a higher floor.
Yeah, I do too. Well. So I agree with you, Messi. Yeah, I prefer Messi up top. The one thing just to note, and I'll check on this, but I had a feeling that Mbappe was taking pens now, but again, I'll check on that. I'm not sure. It doesn't really matter.
Is there a construction though that you could fit both Mbappe and Messi in?
No. I don't think.
I mean,
so.
There is.
I mean, there is.
I don't think it's possible.
Right. I just. It doesn't seem like the slate to pay 12K for Mbappe. I'm not against Denmark. Just doesn't make sense at that price.
Would you be opposed? I've looked through some constructions. Obviously, we're going over the slate with the pricing that, you know, just recently came out. I wouldn't be opposed in cash games to playing Dembele at 8,000.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either. I was looking at that. I think he's probably the cheapest I'd go, though. Doesn't seem like
there's
a slate.
There's nothing. I mean, there is. You ain't doing the dinky do.
No,
like there's nothing here. I mean, but you also have guys like. Do you consider Angel Di Maria at 8,900 to be cash viable? If you think Dembele is cash viable, you have to think Di Maria. Essentially, you're paying for that non set piece taking winger that's going to be involved in a lot of the attack. And honestly, maybe if you have the 900, going back to that macro, I prefer the heavily attacking team that needs to win. I don't think Di Maria comes off the field unless they're up. Like, I think these Argentina guys, like Dembele could come off at 75 minutes, 60 minutes. I mean, Coman could come on at any time. Di Maria, you have to spend another 900, and I don't know if you are able to find the 900.
Yeah.
And then at that point, if you're playing Di Maria, why don't you play Lewandowski or Griezmann?
Yeah, you can keep doing that all the way up to Griezmann. You're right. I don't mind Di Maria. I would have liked him more had I not seen the Saudi Arabia game. I don't want to think about that too much, but Di Maria had one floor point at halftime, and then he was pretty much invisible. And then they sort of panicked a little, obviously, when they went down, and he put up all these floor points in the second half. I don't know. I do agree, though, that that's probably going to be the most open of the games. So, yeah, if I could get up to Di Maria over Dembele, I would, but I would almost rather roster Lewandowski over Di Maria, if only because he's going to be popular and the floor is not even that much different. Well, it's different, but I don't know, Jordan. Somehow I've turned into this guy that rosters these forwards sometimes, these goal-dependent guys, when they're an okay price.
Well, sometimes you have to. Sometimes there's no other option that you like. The thing is that when in doubt, go with the person that could win you the slate.
Yeah.
Rather than one, like if it's close enough, if you are particularly saying, I'm trying to decide between Griezmann and Lewandowski, I think it's real close. Well, which one's more likely to score a hat trick?
Right.
Well, it's Lewandowski. So like then you're gonna a lot of times you're gonna be stuck there with a four or five. But there are going to be other times where you're sitting there with 38 points. And if Griezmann is three times more owned than Lewandowski, you just simply win all of your double ups and head to heads just outright. No matter what you could have gotten a defender wrong, a goalkeeper is minus 4 points, and you still won. So I can never blame someone like that. I don't particularly go out of my way to play guys that don't have ceilings at forward. Regardless, like I don't
right.
like even when we dinky do, like I'm not playing a guy like I'm not going to sacrifice. It's like, oh, let's play this $5,600 guy because he has a 5 point floor versus the $8,000 guy that has a 3 point floor but a 30 point ceiling. It's like I'll sacrifice 2 points of floor for the upside at ceiling. We ain't doing that here. I mean, we ain't talking about playing Papu Gomez. We ain't talking about playing Skov Olsen at 6,500. We ain't talking about anything on the bottom over here. It's like, oh, look, Skov Olsen historically has a higher floor than some of these other players. It's like, good luck spending $6,500 for him in your forward spot. And yes, he's more likely to get 6 points for you. You're absolutely right. But he's also less likely to get you 20.
No, I agree. This is okay. Yeah, I agree. This is the last point I'll make about Griezmann. The matchup they just had against Australia is one of the best in the tournament. This matchup against Denmark is a tough one. We just saw KDB's low floor. We just saw Bruno Fernandes' low floor. We just saw Trippier and Shaw do nothing. We just saw Cody Gakpo do nothing. We see these matches that where just not a lot happens, and I don't see France just bombarding Denmark and picking up a lot of floor points, and Griezmann doesn't have a monopoly anymore. Just it's kind of the reason why I'm not super excited about it, or at least considering a Lewandowski. But
I'm still tilted over Bruno.
Yeah, he got there.
I played Cristiano Ronaldo.
I wanted to ask you about the Ronaldo play.
No, forward. With Rafa Guerrero in there, and so this is how I viewed it. I said, okay, here's a $9,000 midfielder. It requires me to punt at forward, and I could have if Jordan Ayew was in the game, but he wasn't. And then I'm sitting there going, Bruno Fernandes is most likely going to be over right-sided indirects and corners. Left-sided indirects and corners are going to be Rafa Guerrero, and the free kicks are going to be Cristiano Ronaldo. So it's like, how much do I value just half of the indirects?
Yeah,
not to get the free kicks. I'm like, why am I paying $9,000 in a midfield spot where I could find other people in midfield, but at forward, I really can't find anyone. And then obviously there's more penalties called in the World Cup. So like, let me just fill my forward spot with the guy that shoots the most. Guy that has the free kick. Like, give me the direct free kicks over the right-sided one half of the whatever. And that's why I did there. And then of course, Bruno gets there with two assists.
Yeah. Who'd you play at second forward today?
Second forward today, I played Diada and Gakpo.
Okay. It seems like most people. Yeah. I was one of the only ones that played Pulisic.
Yeah, I thought that was a bad play.
I don't know if it was.
Well, I mean, what that did means that you could only play one of the England fullbacks and you got
it. But I mean, look what happened with him.
Okay. Macro standpoint, you probably. Three defender build and I'm sitting there and then you're sitting. I'm like. I'm looking at line. I'm going, what happened?
I played Jacobs. I mean, he was a lock.
He was a lock?
I thought so. I mean, and then
okay,
he
well,
took
you got
especially.
The assist. There you go. Welcome to the assist. And he came off at what, the 70th minute?
Yeah. I don't know. I just wasn't excited about 7,700 for Trippier in a spot where I didn't think he had much of a floor. People were really underrating Pulisic's floor. I actually thought the game was going to go similarly to how it went most of the time. But anyways,
forward for G. Before we get to midfield, it's obvious who the best forward GPP play is, and that's Olivier Giroud, because he's going to be the odd man out because people are going to play other France players. They're going to play Lewandowski. I mean, like. I think more people will play Lautaro Martinez at 7,600 to go down. I think he'll be popular in GPP, Martinez. And, you know, the guy that actually scores goals for France. People don't like Giroud. And he's horrible for DFS if he doesn't score. Like, I'm not saying that I'm excited to play Giroud, but it's from an ownership perspective.
No. I think you're spot on. I mean, he was in my winning lineup. That won 20K on the last slate at 17 or 18% or whatever he was. And that was in a great spot. I mean, yeah, this no one's really going to have him in this spot. I agree. Yeah, one of the better tournament plays.
Here's a question. At the price decrease at 7,600, is Lautaro viable for cash games if you wanted to pay up at more spots in the rest of your lineup? I'm looking at that, like, plus 180 goal scoring odds ain't that different from Mbappe at plus 150. Of course, Mbappe has some set pieces, but like Griezmann is plus 230 to score with half the set pieces. Like, why not Lautaro Martinez?
I think you're right, actually. He's probably more viable than Dembele, actually.
Right, I mean, he has a lower floor than Dembele, but he has much higher goal scoring odds.
Yeah,
and I think with Argentina, I still think they're gonna keep in all their best players until the game is at hand. They may, you know, dump some of their, you know, you get they take off Rodrigo De Paul, or they take off Molina or something, and they put in another attacker like Molina. Acuna comes in. We'll get to defender. I'm not sure if Acuna starts or they stay with Tagliafico.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I just have to assume that the front line of Di Maria, you know, Messi, Martinez, like until they're up by two goals, Like they're gonna play the whole game.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a good call on Lautaro. And again, I'm going to keep saying it. I think his floor is actually close to Dembele's. The matchup edge for Argentina and the tough matchup for Dembele. And I think Dembele's probably got a little less expected minutes. So, yeah, I like that Martinez idea if you need it.
The hardest decision on the slate is midfield.
Yeah.
The hardest decision, I mean, because I don't believe you could play both of them, is do you play Zielinski or do you play Eriksen? And to bring back my macro point from earlier, Zielinski is on the favored side against Saudi Arabia, while Eriksen is on the underdog side against France. But truthfully, Eriksen would have a higher floor. But I'm more concerned is this, the Denmark formation, like if Damsgaard's in, is Eriksen playing, not playing a 10 role? He's playing more of a, like, he's next side by side with another holding midfielder. So, yes, he's going to play box to box, but his open play value may actually be a bit diminished if they have, like, Skov Olsen in, where it's not just two center backs, when it's not just two center forwards. When they're playing, like, Skov Olsen ain't playing as centrally, he's playing wide, which means they're going to have another wide player on the other side of Dahlberg. And that means that Eriksen has to kind of slot back a little further. And yeah, sure, he takes literally everything, all the set pieces and everything for Denmark. But I mean, Zielinski takes like most of, Szymanski once in a blue moon, but I mean, Zielinski's role in their formation with Krakowiak behind him is more advanced than, I mean, a lot of times Zielinski's playing almost like underneath Lewandowski, like side to side over there. So from a macro perspective, as well as a, like looking at the formation type of perspective, is it weird for me to say, I know it's Eriksen at 7,200 is like,
it's not weird. No, you can stop. I mean, you nailed it. I think that perfect breakdown of the whole situation. Yeah, I think you go with Zielinski. I agree.
Can you play a lineup with both? You could play a lineup with both of them, but you have to play like Dembele or Lautaro, and then you still have to punt at like two defender spots.
You know, Jordan, with Delaney out, and if Eriksen's playing in that role next to Højbjerg. Yeah, I think that's a pretty big downgrade to his open play value. So I'd be comfortable enough without him in cash. I wouldn't mind him in cash. 7,200 is still a good price tag for a guy who takes all the sets on a pretty good team. But I'm fine with fading him, and I agree that Zielinski is the better option.
Would they put in another defensive? I mean, like Damsgaard ain't like Højbjerg is technically really not a not a destroyer type. So do you think that this setup is going to be more like Højbjerg and Eriksen will be inset with Damsgaard in front. And if that's the case, essentially now you're playing Joe Matinho. Now you're playing like, I'm just saying in the grand scheme of things, you're playing a set piece monopoly taker who is playing really a more defensive midfield role than he would normally play without Delaney there.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think we're definitely going to have to watch for that formation. Like, Maybe Christian Norgaard could come in and play in Delaney's role, and then Eriksen could be in, you know, his normal role. That's important to monitor for sure.
But are those the only two like pay up midfielders? I mean,
yeah, like who else would it be? Yeah, I wasn't considering anyone else. I don't think.
And you could play, but like I said, there are lineups where you can play both, but I'm not a big fan of them. Where you play Eriksen and Zielinski.
Yeah.
But it's hard to play Messi in that lineup. It's like you're playing Griezmann. You're playing like a Griezmann Lewandowski type of lineup or a Griezmann Lautaro Martinez type of lineup. And I think once we get to defender, we'll find that I don't think there's really much to pay up for.
Yeah, I agree. So then what are you looking at for second midfielder?
Luis Chavez at 5,000?
Yeah, I can get behind that for sure. Splitting set pieces, had a good game last time. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
I'm looking at him, and even for like a utility spot or a midfield like Zalewski for Poland, because he's 3,900, but he's going to play as a wing back. So like at 3,900, that ain't bad for a more attacking player. I mean, he's just going to be on the other side of Matty Cash.
Yeah, definitely worrying that he got subbed at 45 minutes, but they weren't playing very well. I actually, when I was just messing around, I could go all the way down to, I was considering Zalewski too, but I just figured I can go all the way down to Edson Alvarez if you need it for 3,200. I don't know if it fits you, everything. I mean, he doesn't seem that much worse than Zalewski.
Well, I mean, but the point that with Zalewski, though, is that if Zalewski's not in, I mean, Berezinski's the same price.
And
obviously Berezinski, when they play in a 3-4-3 or whatever format, 3-4-1-2-2-1, whatever they do.
Yeah.
Berezinski's going to play as a center back, but let's say they play with a 4-man back line. Now Berezinski's a fullback. And Zalewski wouldn't be in.
Right, but it was the same. No, I mean, but the same formation. Zalewski was on the wing last time. I just, he scored 1 point in 45 minutes.
Yeah, well, Poland sucked.
Yeah, I know. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying, so right. I was considering Zalewski, and he sucks, and Poland sucks, and he's going to get subbed. I mean, Edson Alvarez for 3,200 can't be the worst.
Truthfully, I almost prefer Krakowiak.
Sure. I guess I mean any of these guys. I don't even mean to say Edson Alvarez. I just didn't see anyone else down here. I think you can punt here. I don't know.
Is there any world in cash where you even play Aldosari at 6,300?
I don't think so. Honestly, I was thinking about that.
But how do you play? But the thing is that any lineup that you play him in, you probably want to play at least one of Zielinski or Eriksson, and then you get into that same issue of if you're playing Aldosari at 6,300, find the 700 to get up to Zielinski or Eriksson anyway. You still have to sacrifice to play Aldosari with one of Zielinski or Eriksson, meaning you're not playing Messi, or you have to play Lautaro Martinez, or you have to, you have to get off some type of thing. And if I were to get off that type of construction, I'd just play Zielinski and Eriksson together.
Yeah. Aldosari or whatever his name is. Yeah. I just don't, I'm not sure how to predict that match. I don't know, Poland, if it was going to be where it's even, we saw Mexico had most of the floor points against Poland. Obviously Mexico is way better than Saudi Arabia. Yeah. I don't want to pay that price. I guess I'm just thinking of Iran just dominating Wales this morning. But again, this is different. This is a little different than that too. Anyways, I was even thinking about Rodrigo De Paul. I mean, if you're considering Aldosari or whatever, Paul doesn't seem that much different.
Right. I mean, I'd prefer the Argentinian players.
Yeah. And I wanted to throw in DePaul. DePaul took a corner and lined up over another one, because Messi and Di Maria are both left footed. So DePaul is going to steal one or two here and there.
Is there anything else at midfield that is viable at all?
No, I mean, Rabiot won me all the money, but that's a tournament play only.
Right.
No, nothing else I don't see.
At the defender. I see no reason in cash games to play Theo Hernandez at 6,200.
No, I don't either. No.
And then even if you like Acuña, he's in the final game and you don't even know if he's going to start. Have no problem paying up 5,100 for Acuña if I knew he was starting.
No, me either, because, yeah, he'd probably take sets, maybe corners over Messi even on one of those sides. So, but, yeah, you won't know unless we get a leaked lineup, and that it'll be too tough to plan for that 5,100 there, I think.
Right, because most likely you'll have spot. I mean, if you're playing
Yeah, if you have Chavez. And,
right.
You know.
Yeah, if you have Chavez in your utility spot and a 100 left, Who would you rather play, Acuna or...
I was just going to say that. I don't know. What would you even do there? I don't know. I might feel safer with Chavez. I don't know.
Well, if you knew Acuna was in, I mean, I would have to think Acuna as a defender with clean sheet equity on the favored side.
Yeah.
With possible
yeah,
okay. half the set piece takers. I'd prefer that. Yeah. I prefer getting all of Argentina's production than one yeah, half just... of Mexico's.
Sure. Yeah, you know, just to play devil's advocate, I'd be a little worried about Tagliafico coming on for him, the same sub that happened last game. You know, if Chavez is going to play 90 minutes in half the sets, it seems right. okay.
Well, that also means playing, even if you play Tagliafico in cash, you have to be worried about him.
Yeah, that's why I was like, Tagliafico's price is pretty good, so I was considering him, but there's risk there. I mean, I think if they went up early, you could see him stay in and just ride it out. But if they struggle at all, he's going to get subbed again. Defender,
I'm a glutton for punishment, but I'm fine going back to Matty Cash.
I think I am too. Look, I said it a bunch of times. Poland were really bad against Mexico, and yeah, like Cash wasn't getting forward at all, but it wasn't his fault. You just hope that Poland isn't that bad against Saudi Arabia, and they shouldn't be. I mean, you got to think Poland will create more chances and get forward more. I mean, that was a bad performance overall. Cash's price is good. I mean, if he's on the wing, this is a good spot. I want to roster him against Saudi Arabia.
And then cheap one. I think if you're going to play two expensive forwards, you're going to have to basically punt one defender mm-hmm. spot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the defenders that you'd be punting with would either be Kanate at 3,300, Romero at 3,200, or Glick at 2,900. Like that gives
yep,
you the
those are most, the three.
Basically you're playing the cheaper center back of the favored teams between the pairing. Cause obviously Upamecano is 4,500. So you ain't doing that. And then you got Otamendi's 4,100, and then Kiwiar. I mean, I don't even know what his price is, but I mean, I'd much rather he's 3,500. And truthfully, Glick is more of a threat on set pieces anyway. So I'd prefer the Glick side, just like I prefer the Otamendi side for headers to Romero. They'll both be up there, but I prefer Otamendi. But the price difference is 900. It's not, I mean, I'm not going to spend $4,000 on a center back. The whole point is to play a $3,000 level player. So, I mean, do you have any take between those three guys other than just whatever money you have left? If it's Kanate, play Kanate. If it's 3,300, play Kanate. If it's 3,200, play Romero. If it's 2,900, play Glick. Is there pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, no. I mean, if they were all the same price, Glick would be the last one I would choose. But since he's 2,900, yeah, like you may be the best option if you need that few hundred. Yeah, they're all fine. They're all about the same. You know, I'm looking at this lineup and it's not leaving me what I want at the flex. What goalie are you thinking? What are we thinking about doing at goalie?
I think you could play whoever you want.
I kind of do too. Like I'm just looking because you know there's these constructions. Like I'd be perfectly fine with playing Kasper Schmeichel or even all the way down to Ochoa, but you know that extra 1,500 or 1,700 between the top goalies and the bottom goalies, it might not get you very much.
Well, I'm looking at the lineup that I have in right now. And I'm still more likely to play a favored.
Yeah, I know.
The thing is in cash, because I'm looking at my phone right now, is that there are dead zones in pricing.
Yes.
So it's like what ends up happening is that like if you already have, let's say, Chavez, Zielinski, and some 3K guy or something like that. and you already have the punt defender and you're paying up twice at forward, going from like Chesney down to Schmeichel, the 1400, where does it get? It gets you up from a 3K defender to a $4,300 defender, which doesn't matter to me, which gets you up from a 4K, a 3,600 level midfielder up to a 5K guy, but you already have Chavez in your lineup and you're like, what fits there? Like that could be Acuna if you knew he was in, right? So you could play something like Chavez, Zielinski, Acuna. The problem is that if Acuna's not in, you're basically wasting money in that spot because you're going to go down to Tagliafico, who may still come off at 45 minutes. So like, I don't know if that's optimal. The only way to avoid that range in those types of constructions is to not play double pay up forward and then go down at goalkeeper. And then that's the lineup where you play like Eriksen and Zielinski together. Cause you have to go all the way. Like even Rodrigo De Paul is kind of in like a dead zone where you're probably not playing De Paul and Chavez together because you just don't have the salary to do that unless you go down at one forward spot, which you're probably not doing anyway.
Right, unless you play like, unless you play like Ochoa. But yeah, I don't think you want to do that. You're right. I mean, I keep trying to get off like Zielinski, but like getting to 5K or 5,300, I mean, it does nothing for you, actually.
Right, would do something for you if you knew Acuna was in, because then you could move Chavez into you can now play two midfielders and three defenders.
That would be the move, yeah, because you can get right to that 5K range. So you know maybe we'll get a leaked lineup.
I got Lloris in my lineup, but I mean, essentially that could be any of the favorite. I could switch one guy out with no issue and get up to Martinez. I could play Chesney. Yep. I mean, I could play anyone. But it's most likely, like, Lloris, I don't mind, because if I'm not playing Eriksen, it's like, okay, at least my lineup is, you know, correlated. If it matters.
Yeah, I was just seeing what I could get if I go down to Lautaro. But, yeah.
Is it a lock that Chavez starts? Are we going to get into an issue where Chavez doesn't even start and Acuna doesn't start and you're sitting there with a 5K guy going, what the hell do I do now?
Well, you know what you do then is maybe you play Romero as the punt.
Right, so you have some optionality. So you could go, yeah, that isn't that bad. Like, if you play Romero as the punt, I see that type of line. But you play Romero as the punt, so worst case, like, if you see Acuna in, it gives you the opportunity to play Acuna in a defender spot, and then you could play, I mean, feel free to punt at your utility with Edson Álvarez or something. I mean, like, because the difference between Camille Glick and Edson Álvarez ain't all that, I mean, whatever. It is whatever
it is. I
mean,
I see a lineup where you could do so much. I mean, it just makes sense.
And then
if
you're really behind, now you have the option to switch off a Messi. Like, you take out Messi and you put in Di Maria.
Well, what if you just like, what if you play Messi and Lautaro, and then you would have Lautaro to be able to switch as well. You could get up to Di Maria
or even Vega, or you know, you could do a lot of stuff. I think in GPP, mm-hmm. I mean, my favorite game on the slate for GPP is the last game, Argentina Mexico.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
And I think the over-owned game is going to be France-Denmark.
Okay, good. I'm glad you say that, because my second favorite spot is the same thing I did today. It's not quite as good of a spot, but stacking the early game. So, like, Poland win 3-0 type of stack, or Poland score 3 goals type of stack. I'm considering something like that as well. But, yeah, I agree. The last game is the one I like the most.
And I think for the price, I think France is overpriced for this matchup.
I do too. Yep, I'm with you.
But also, it's going to be scary as hell if you're going in with no France and no Eriksen.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there going, I hope this is 0-0.
No, trust me, I know. I went in with 0 England today, very scared, going, I hope this is 0-0. Sometimes it works out. Yeah, okay. I think that about covers it. Keep an eye, you know, we could see the Poland lineup change after that game. They have a couple cheapish attackers. But yeah, okay. I think that covers it. Anything else, Jordan?
No, I think we covered all the main things. I mean, this is three games. We
right. Yeah.
I mean, you can go through it
pretty quickly.
Right. I think if you're looking for the cheap goal, I mean, you're gonna have to get it in like 65 minutes. But Kasper Dahlberg's down to 5,400, mm-hmm. and I'm not convinced that France could keep a clean sheet.
No, I'm not either. And yeah, maybe Braithwaite gets a start at 5K. That's
the problem with those Denmark players is that you know that like you, they have like whoever they start, they have like a carbon copy of every single player in their front line on the bench.
They do, Jordan. They do, and they play or it's like the same team, and they use subs the same way. And the guys they start are always going to get subbed early, and the guys on the bench are always going to come in. And they have a bunch of attackers on the bench who are all waiting to get minutes. Yeah, Denmark's a nightmare.
right, most likely, like Molly and Eriksson. And the center back. So like the one, okay, they're going to play the whole game, but it's like they're sitting there with Brathwaite and Paulsen and Jonas Wind. And I mean, and Cornelius, and just sitting there going, what's the difference between Cornelius and Dahlberg? Nothing. What's the difference between Paulsen and Scott Paulsen? Nothing. What's the
right.
Wind is it like, truthfully, I think he's the best. I think they should be starting Jonas Wind over.
Dolby. Yeah, it's weird. He was first choice for a while, and then I don't know what happened. Anyway, yeah. Anyway. Okay, cool. Me and I will be back tomorrow with Adam, probably later on around this time again. We'll see.
I have a question for you, if you know.
Yeah.
I don't think you do, because I don't. What the hell is the mega group stage? They listed as 12-1. It's weird to me that they're listing on the tickets, because I've been collecting these for God knows how long, as a 555 contest on December 1st, which is weird. Why wouldn't they put it on a USA slate? Because then you know they get much more participation when the U.S. plays. And basically, I've won all these tickets without having any clue what the hell this contest even is. I'm assuming it's a super 555. Like, instead of it being 134 man 555, it's like 1,000 man 555.
That would be 108
a first or something. Like,
that would be incredible. I know. I wish I knew.
Satellite. I mean, Brian, they've been running these satellites in all sports for like 4 months.
Man, yeah, I've been meaning to ask you this because I keep seeing everybody talk about this and like. I haven't played any. I've never really looked for that stuff. Have they been like, do they overlay and stuff? I mean, everybody's getting these
in
tickets.
NFL they do. In NFL, they're running like running 7-man $90 satellites.
Right. No, but I guess my question is like, if not for overlay, like why do you enter them?
Because of, I mean, that's the main reason why I, and
right.
also,
yeah.
I'm entering them more. I like the overlay was most of the tickets that I won have been in NFL because I'm playing, you know, I put my cash lineup in and it's like 3 out of 7, 4 out of 7. So I play soccer, give it to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. I didn't mean you specifically. I just always think, well, why would you play this contest for a ticket? Just play a contest for money. Or like if you're going to buy into that tournament anyways.
Right, but I mean, maybe.
No, I know, I know. I don't mean you specifically. I just mean, because oftentimes I feel like I'm leaving a lot of stuff on the table by not looking for the overlay out there. I see those ticket contests overlaying a lot, and I feel like
I'm missing out. All you need is one person gone, and it's overlaid.
Yep.
If it runs at 6 out of 7, it's plus EV, so like. If I see 5 out of 7, I'm in, right?
You know, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I need to start paying attention to that stuff.
I just didn't know what the hell the fact that I'm getting all these tickets to a contest that
I don't either, but it's got to be.
I'm sitting with $10,000 worth of tickets, and I'm like,
it's got to be a good contest. It's going to be a big contest.
Yeah, I think I have 12. I think I have 12 tickets. I 12
in a 555.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
dude! I've been winning these in NFL because I just, you know, it's three out of seven, four out of seven, just cash, throw the lineup in, and they may run two or three on an NFL slate. And I'd like, okay, I'll win three at once. Okay, give it to me. And
yeah, man, I wish I had 12 tickets to that tournament. Holy shit!
Right. Well, that's why I was asking. It's like, I don't know what.
Yeah, no, you're smarter than me. You're better at chasing the value than me. I got to start looking for that stuff. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks to Jordan. Good luck, everybody.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.